Ricardo.
All right, everyone, welcome to a brand new edition of the Swift Takes podcast. As always, before we get started, we want to ask you guys to please like, share, and subscribe. With me, as always, are Ben and Steve. Today, we're going to talk about the fan protests at Old Trafford. The fight for football is strong. 200 people inside, thousands more outside. Man United and Liverpool game postponed. Will the Glazers take any notice? Plus, we've already handed them the title, but Man City are now just 3 points from officially clinching Premier League glory. Tommy Tuchel's tactics are guiding Chelsea into a strong position, and Newcastle's Steve Bruce has been returned from his kidnapping. A horrendous showing at home gives Arsenal a rare win. Ben, I'm going to start with you, though. Would you bet your mortgage on the Glazers making a change after what happened this weekend?
Yeah, I'm coming to you live from center pitch at Old Trafford. There's 12-year-olds drunk everywhere. It's absolute mayhem over here. No, I think the question was, are the Glazers going to sell on? I don't think so. I've just seen a
late. Watch out, that kid's got a bottle.
Yep, he's got a WKD bottle. He's keeping it real. They don't Smirnoff ice each other here. They bottle each other. No, I think the Red Army, if you will, Manchester United fans, rightfully upset, are demanding. They're trying to storm the castle and take the keys back to the castle, if you will. But unfortunately, the Glazers are probably too stubborn to let go of that. But really, I think before I hear you guys' opinion on it, I wanted to give a quick update as to why everyone's so angry. Yes, the Super League, but this has been a festering wound for 16 years now since the Glazers came in. Let me paint a picture for you. When the Glazers came in, Manchester United had £0 in debt. No debt at all as a club. They were a very successful club. They were still winning titles, a couple trebles under their belt. The likes of Beckham, Giggs, Solskjaer, you know, the world was their oyster. And then the Glazers took out a loan to acquire Manchester United. Their current debt is £405 million, and the Glazers are still taking 20 mil a pop out of the club. So the fiscal responsibility of the Glazer family has just been destroying the heart and soul of what Manchester United truly was. And this is a club that's historically developed young talent, brought in maybe one player every now and then. They're just running it straight into the ground. And the fans aren't having it anymore. And, you know, you always need to condone, like, violence. You cannot be acting in ways where others can get hurt. But even the prime minister himself is out there saying, you know, Manchester United fans are rightfully upset. You know, you don't want to see people getting injured like the police officer that was. It's too far. I think the fact they got into the stadium is crazy to me, but I'm hopeful that people are listening and people are paying attention. I think it's going to be a trying time for whoever comes in and tries to patch up this mess. But like we said a couple weeks ago, this is probably just the beginning. Getting a game like United and Liverpool postponed, potentially even canceled, is just, it's insane, right? Like that's no bigger statement in football, in my opinion, than that right there. They don't even want to see the game. The Glazers
decide when you play, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly what it was. Right. And the Glazers are going to be, you know, it'd be interesting to see what would happen when fans come back into the stadium. Do they come back in masses, or they all stood outside, or are they just going to just walk in anyway? Cause it seems to be what they do. Where are you guys at with it?
Well, Steve, I was just going to ask you, going to that part about the fans being in the stands. I mean, if things, I guess, are going as they are, there's the potential that they could actually have, each team could have one, basically the last game of the season could have some level of fans inside the stadium. You know, is the fan power enough to ultimately make a lot of change, whether it be inside the stadium, as we saw this weekend, or legitimately as we could see at the end of the season, or outside the stadium as it has been over the past couple, 2-3 weekends?
That's a loaded question, that one. I think the fans, the response by the fans in storming the pitch, although a bit unorthodox and it kind of took the world by storm, I'm personally for that type of stuff. I don't know. I'm not a Manchester United fan, nor do I know what they've been through since that takeover in 2005. I'm familiar with it on paper, but I've not you know, I've not been a part of that for that period of time. And if you've had a parasite like the Glazers continuing to siphon money off the top, but bringing the club down. I mean, yes, they've continued to win. I mean, they've won what? They won the Champions League in, what was it, 2008? Something like that. They've won titles since. But, I mean, they were winning titles before the takeover, like Ben said. And I think the fans have been kind of just complicit and a little bit complacent, maybe is the more of the term, kind of putting that to the back of their mind. Now the Glazers, yeah, we hate them. Yeah, they suck, but we're kind of just putting up with them. And now that people know, they've taken the mask off what they're truly about, what their intentions are with the club and just the direction of football. I think the fans now more than ever have collectively realized that we need these guys out of here. We're done. Get them out. And a lot of the owners who have, of the other clubs of the Super League have recognized the situation and the mess that they've made and have left their respective positions at their clubs. The Glazers are sticking their feet into the ground and saying that they're not leaving. They've apologized, I think, publicly, but they've stated that they're not leaving. And what do the fans do?
Are they going full like Wolf of Wall Street? I'm not leaving.
Yeah. I would love... Love to see who is named Joe Glazer with that little curly mullet.
I think there's a couple of things, right? Like, I know I brought up that they've brought out all of this debt, right? Who's to say they wouldn't have done that under previous owners? That's a bit of a I don't know, slippery slope, I guess. But in my opinion, there has to be progress. The issue is they didn't trust. The fans didn't trust the Glazer family to begin with. They spent 16 years trying to build that trust, and then they just said, "Yeah, we're going to consider this an open relationship."
It almost seems the progress was dependent on Sir Alex Ferguson, though, because the progress stopped when he left.
It was. So Sir Alex Ferguson came in and helped rebuild that bridge.
Yeah.
Not rebuild it, build that bridge initially. Yeah. And they were getting to a good place. If this doesn't happen, United finished second. And then next year, they maybe bring home some hardware and continue to progress. I think they're in a different place. But it's just such a snaky thing to do. Mm. I did want to kind of educate some of the you know, diehard listeners out there. We know you guys depend on us to give you all the breaking news as it goes. The Newton Heath colors, the green and gold. So a lot of people have been asking, why are they rocking the green and gold? So Newton Heath is what Manchester United kind of evolved into. If that makes sense, or evolved from. And it was a part of like a railroad company, football side mixed with like a pub league in a part of Manchester called Newton Heath. And they basically came together to form Manchester United. So what you're seeing in the green and gold is really Man United fans saying, we want the club to go back to our own. I do think green and gold is a terrible color combo and they should not go back to that color and keep it in the red, but that's where the green and gold is coming from. Alex, where are you at with all this going on?
Well, you know, I think what we saw is direct action achieved an aim, you know, embarrassing both the club, the owners really, and the Premier League itself. You know, there was definitely something within the Premier League that allowed these clubs to sort of act autonomously and go out and try and go in search of this Super League that they were all going to do without having any fan-based reaction or any board votes or anything like that. What you've seen in a lot of clubs is there's always, I mean, this has happened before, but there's always factions of fans within a club, you know, the diehards, those that are casual fans, those that are new fans, everything like that. And that's just the nature of the game. That's not a bad thing or a good thing, whatever way. But what I think you saw was a real coming together of all of those groups just saying, yo, we don't like this at all. Don't ever do this again to our club. Don't ever do this again to our sport. And there was such a like collective strength and a unity there that you saw. Yes, wrapped in drunken debauchery. You know, there was that, obviously, but I think the underlying cause of everything was just, you know, a unifying message of don't mess with our club and we want you gone, anybody that wants to mess with it. And as much as people are going to come out, rightly so, to say that, you know, some of the actions were aberrant and like shouldn't have happened and everything like that, what they are ignoring, I think, is some of the underlying reasons for what's going on. There will be these people that are sitting at the top that just, you know, the Glazers, maybe they'll go, some people showed up. It was kind of, you know, bad for us, whatever, but we'll talk about it in a couple of weeks' time and it'll be totally fine. You know, there'll still be 30,000 people showing up if they can to come see a game, you know, at the end of the season or in 100 days when the next season starts. They'll be there showing up, buying season tickets, buying the merch, buying everything. And I think, you know, we've all talked about the Newcastle aspect of that, where we've had similar things where we just hate Mike Ashley, not because he's tried to run off and make some league, but because he just sucks. But at the end of the day, we still buy all the merch. We still buy everything because, you know, and part of it is because we love the club so much and we want them to do well. And we know that everything is revenue driven. But I think that what we saw actually got a message out there. And I feel like this won't be the only time that we see something like this in the next coming weeks.
I don't think so either.
I think the fight for football is totally on through the summer.
For sure. Not even just the fight for football. I'd just say even just Manchester United fans in general. I don't think this is the last one. I think the foot's going to be firmly on the gas pedal.
Yeah.
Now, could you imagine like the Houston Astro fans doing this?
is that a baseball team?
Yeah. Exactly. There's no chance. I think what's crazy to me and why I truly believe change is going to come out of this. They interviewed Gary Neville, man of the people, and
next prime minister.
No one is like saying, yo, this is wrong. No one is saying,
yeah,
hey,
I have an issue with that.
Down. Right.
Because you talking about the protest? You talking about that protest?
No.
Yeah.
No
issue with the protest, but I have an issue with the idea that it's okay. And even I think it's okay that like the Manchester United fans are on the field and nobody, everybody's like, oh, their actions are justified. Whereas when Newcastle has a terrible manager, all this kind of stuff, whatever, and we want to do anything and they go, oh, your club's not big enough. Like you should, you know, you guys should be happy with the spot that you're in kind of deal.
You guys should get bought out. This is what you
have. Yeah, exactly. It's like different standard. But anyway, I digress.
But like, you know, Lee Dixon and Arlo, whatever his name is there just being like, yeah, no, we kind of get it. Like no one's like, yo, we got to stop this. We need football to go on. They're like egging it on. Gary Neville, you would think, is stood on a soapbox in a corner of the street, just leading them with a sword out. Like it's absolutely absurd.
You need people like that doing it though.
But like, they're not letting the players address it. And you know, they've been asking to. So Harry Maguire and Luke Shaw were trying to go outside of the Lowry because that was where the second protest was taking place. And if I screwed up the name of that hotel, Alex, you can jump in. So they were basically, you know, throwing flares at the buses. The players are in the windows. And the players have been asking to go outside. The officials won't let them because they want to talk them down. They want to play football. And you kind of feel for people like Solskjaer because you got, was it the, you know, they have those like fans charities who's also egging on them, wouldn't say anything about the protest being over the top or anything. They kept being like, so you're not going to address it? Because it's like, no, it's warranted. And they're getting frustrated with like Solskjaer for not denouncing the Glazers. But at the end of the day, he's in such a hard spot. Yeah. Like, you know, those players agree with the fans. They've said it before. Harry Maguire stood up to Ed Woodward. You know what I mean? And it's just, I feel for the players right now. And I think if Ed Woodward and the rest of the scummy six or whatever you want to call them would have pulled this off a couple of weeks from now going into the summer, they would have been better off than at the end of the season. Because like now there's football going on to still talk about it. And the fans are going to be there to kind of pound down the doors. I did see a great protester sign, and it was it was just a piece of cardboard, and the fans got it up, and it says Glazers cardboard 50 pounds at the Man United gift shop. And then I don't know, do you guys know who Jay Glazer is?
I mean, yeah, no, I'm assuming he's part of the family, but no.
No, he's not. So that's just it.
Oh.
Jay Glazer is a Fox Sports pundit and has nothing to do with the Glazers of Tampa Bay or anything like that. He's got a pretty cool gym. I got to go train at it out in LA. But Jay Glazer has been getting all this hate mail, and he's an MMA trainer. So like,
he really wants you to know that he's not responsible for this.
Well, he started buying into it because these people are all threatening him.
Yeah.
So he's just started sending responses to these DMs of like these little chavvy Manx that are out there trashing him. And he's like, all right, let's do this. When do you want to fight? Like, let's fight. Let's have it happen. So if you guys are one of the idiots sliding into Jay Glazer's DMs over this, please know you need to read a book. And, you should probably figure that out.
Or just Google.
I mean, you too, Steve. You didn't know it.
I do now, though.
And now you know.
And of course, we all know that like a lot of this, as we've talked about, stems from this idea of the Super League coming around. But it does look like the Premier's charter, all of the owners of the clubs will have to sign up to a new rule that would commit them to certain core principles of the league. And any breaches of that would be punished by significant sanctions. So, you know, seems like the Premier League's taking some sort of action on this. I don't know if it'll be enough. Do you think it needs to go further, Steve?
Could you repeat that question again?
So just with this new reported owner's charter where any club that sort of breaks the quote unquote core principles of whatever they're signing, they would be punished by sanctions. Is that enough, or is there more that needs to be done?
I mean, the Premier League is actually kind of not late to the game, but they weren't the first ones to implement something like this. Serie A, I believe, has also done something like this. I think La Liga is now implementing something like this. Basically all of the leagues are kind of covering, are trying their best, something like the Super League. If any team wishes to break away from their respective domestic leagues or UEFA or whatever, there is an insurmountable amount of penalties and consequences. Do I think it's a good idea? Yes. Do I think it'll be enough? We'll see. I worry about like the legal loopholes. I don't know if, you know, like Florentino Perez and those money line pockets, if they can find something legally where they can somehow sidestep these new legalities that are being implemented. But do I think that this is a good idea? 100%. This has got to be a reaction. There's no way that any of these leagues can continue to operate another day without having something preventing their teams from leaving the leagues on a whim. 100% has to be in place.
I mean, they weren't leaving a league, though. Like, I'm just throwing.
No, but they were leaving the Champions League to form the Super League, and they're now making the consequence where if they wish to do something like that or leave the league, that they would be kicked out of the league regardless. Even if they just wish to jump from the Champions League to the Super League, they would be kicked out of the league and kicked out of all these different things. And it just, the juice wouldn't be worth, they would make it so the juice isn't worth the squeeze.
You have to have some repercussions.
Yeah, which is what they're doing. I don't know them. I can't list them to you, like what the repercussions would be if a team still decides to do this after this has been passed. But I have to imagine it wouldn't be worth it. You know what I mean?
Pretty.
Yeah, it wouldn't be pretty. But yeah, I saw that the Premier League was doing that recently, and rightly so. I can't see why they wouldn't.
Yeah, it looks like the FA too is going to launch some sort of formal inquiry into all of those clubs who attempted to take part in the Super League as well. So really just sort of more of a statement than anything. I don't really know what will come of it, but you know, that should tell people don't do it again.
Just do your best stop to it. Stamp it out.
You stop it.
Yeah.
With it.
Just the stern finger, just wagging no.
There is some sad news, though, on the front of the Arsenal bid, potential bid from the Spotify CEO. Looks like Thierry Henry has said that it would be not easy if it ever happens at all. So not very strong and positive language there from the.
So he didn't say he's out.
Didn't say he's out. He's saying there's a chance.
I thought you were about to tell me he was out.
No. I just think that's not a very positive.
It's definitely not a good sign.
Yeah, right. I mean, we'll see. What was it? It's supposed to be like Dennis Bergkamp, Patrick Vieira, Thierry Henry, and then the Elk guy. I don't remember.
Yeah.
Eck, sorry. Yeah. We're very close.
The Elk guy.
Yeah. Just became a hunting podcast.
I wouldn't buy Arsenal either, to be fair. They're a bit crap. Like
that Eck guy, though, he was like a lifelong fan. I think he grew up in the area and shit like that. Grew up supporting him and all that. So if you got the money, do it. But I get what you're saying. I wouldn't want to buy him either.
Right. I think Arteta's got to go. I mean, if I'm an Arsenal fan and I hate Arteta, I'm buying him just to let him go.
They sold their soul when they left Highbury.
I mean, it's that or you're stuck at like St. James Park, right? Like you can't, right. You either got to move and move on or you.
I don't know how much Highbury seated, but I felt like it was quite a bit. I don't know what the Emirates seats either in comparison, but.
The Emirates, I think, is about 65.
I think Highbury
was maybe like 30.
Damn. Okay. Well, if that is true, then I understand.
Highbury was 38,000 and the Emirates is about 61.
Yeah. Do you think you're making this up, Steve? Did you just try fact check Alex? That's not at the sand. They go after me.
That's not the hashtag.
Yeah. That's not how this works.
What's kind of amazing is Stamford Bridge is only like 42,000. It's not like that much bigger.
Stamford Bridge is so small.
Yeah. And then I know Craven Cottage is like 20,000, which is beautiful.
I thought the bridge was fucking like 35 or 38. I thought it was smaller than even that, but the new bridge is about to be big.
Yep. Old Wembley was pretty awesome. Oh no, Alex, you ever get your old Wembley?
Just the outside.
Yeah, I got to like a U21 game or U19 game or something there to watch like the year or two before they bulldozed it, the two towers out in front of it. It was pretty cool.
That one
new Wembley is pretty cool too. It's just not got the history, you know?
Yeah. Both about the same size. Old Wembley was 82,000. New one is 90,000.
Yeah, it was just crumbling though, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was kind of falling apart.
Typical. So, Alex, does Gareth Bale just play when he wants? Like, what happened there?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the only thing that I saw from Gareth Bale was the fact that Tottenham have the, are considering keeping him on loan. And I don't see why not.
Wait, past the season?
Yeah.
Must be pals with Ryan Mason, eh?
I guess. Something's going on there. But I mean, Tottenham coming out 4-0 against Sheffield. They look pretty sick. Sweet.
You beat the team who's already relegated.
Yeah, Gareth Bale with a hat trick, you know. Scores when he wants.
I'm looking at the kits from that game. It looks like Tottenham have a new shirt sponsor. I can't see what it is. I didn't know you could switch
team sponsor. Viewer because it's a stupid.
It sponsor. Is not. Can confirm it is not. But I didn't know that you could switch sponsors like partway through a season. Well,
why not? Game's all money, man. Game's all money.
Yeah, right.
Big Six does what they want. Chelsea are what? Are they undefeated in like 16 games, 17 games or something ridiculous like that?
It's something silly.
Yeah, Tuchel's got it figured out. And who's the guy we keep giving a hard time from Chelsea? Tino Werner?
Werner.
Yeah, he's German, right? He's finding a bit of a form as like a build-up play. So like both the goals came through him, and they were pretty good. The goal of the weekend though came in the Arsenal Newcastle game. Alex, did you see it?
Mm-hmm, yeah, the Arsenal game. Yeah.
Yeah, Aubameyang's goal was disgusting.
Yeah, I think it was offside.
He flew in the air. You think it was offsides?
Yeah.
No, are you the nerd in the VAR box?
Yeah,
VAR
nerd. Didn't catch it. Yeah, he was offside.
VAR. Oh, he just salty. Okay.
Dude, it was such a good goal, Steve. Probably one of the best goals of the season. He pretty much flew in midair
Header, volley,
like chicken wing, but like diving chicken wing.
Okay.
Like it was pretty good.
I mean, it's pretty good when you start from an offside position. You know, it's easy to make things like that.
Do you think that's why Newcastle lost 2-0?
Is it? No, I really do think the Cabbage Patch Kid is back.
Self-destruct.
Yeah. I think you might need to whip out our advertisement. No longer undefeated.
Have you asked them yet, though?
Yeah, okay, really.
Even the best have a bad day. And Alex, not being funny, but like, if Newcastle fans really cared, they'd storm the pitch. I'm just saying.
Okay.
If Newcastle fans really cared, they'd buy out the club.
Right.
They're trying, Steve. Jesus, Steve.
But, you know, yeah, Steve, we dropped ourselves back down to 17th place. So that's
cool. All right. You guys are making it interesting. We're going to have a good run at the end of the season. I'm really, really, really hopeful that Newcastle are in relegation talk.
I mean, here's the thing. Like, Fulham have to win, like, I don't know, there's 5 games left or something. They basically have to win 4 games, and they've only won 5 all season. So
you're saying there's a chance.
Exactly.
West Brom are hanging on for dear life.
Oh, what was it that Big Sam said? He said that the Baggies need a magic miracle and fairy dust to stay in the Premier League.
I mean, he's not wrong.
Yo, I think someone needs to drug test him. What's this fairy dust? Like, what's he doing now?
But the thing is, I mean, they had so many chances against Wolves they drew him 1-1, but like, they had so many chances to make that a win and give themselves some hope. But now we're down to magic fairies and dust. And
fairy dust sounds an awful lot like angel dust.
A lot of PCP running around. Right. Yeah.
But they drew Wolves, and I think I'm pulling up the
there's a chance
the table right now, but
I think 10 points between Newcastle and West Brom. I'm saying there's still a chance, man. Newcastle are good to lose out. I'm just throwing that out there.
Probably not far off.
No.
I mean, I think Sheffield. We play like Leicester City, Man City. I guess we got Sheffield and Fulham at the end, but
you will lose to Sheffield. I guarantee it. There's my trash take for May 19th with fans at St. James Park.
Right. Bruce we'll out. Beat Man City the week before, and then we'll just
Bruce will stay.
Bruce for life, man.
Bruce for life.
If we can't get rid of him, he might as well be the lifer.
If you guys lose out, I'm just saying, if you lose the rest of your games, if you lose 3 of the 4, Fulham can catch you. If you lose all 4, West Brom can surpass you.
Yeah.
And Sheffield got no chance. I'm just throwing that out there. But, I mean, Burnley is right there.
You think Burnley has a shot of being relegated?
I mean, they're tied with Newcastle, if you look at it.
Pretty much. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the same. Exact same record.
Yeah. You guys are both terrible.
Yeah.
Equally terrible. Equally Newcastle terrible. Has more goals for and way more goals against. That's the only difference there is Newcastle cannot defend.
What are you going to do? I'll tell you somebody who can defend, Chelsea. They, Tommy Two Chains and his tactics. They're, I think the back end of their team, the goalkeeper and the back four, have really kept them in the past couple of games. What were the stats that I was reading? In Tommy Two Chains' 23 matches in all competitions, Chelsea have kept 17 clean sheets. They've only conceded 10 goals, and 5 of them came during that 5-2 loss to West Brom. So, is he like a maestro? Like, what's going on? Is it all Tommy Two Chains, or is it?
I don't know what that guy is. I guess it's got to be him, isn't it?
Yeah,
I mean,
it's got to be Tuchel. Yeah, they haven't made any changes except for the coach.
Yeah, right. That's like, what I'm thinking. Get as well.
Busy in the transfer market. Yep. They're playing similar lineups. He's getting the most out of what he's got. It's kind of scary to think about what he's going to do with potentially some spending.
I wonder what Lamps is thinking at this point. He's probably got his bucket of KFC and like other chips and snack foods on his couch. He's like, I can do that. They just give me enough time.
Yeah. He's become a Southern. Flicks
the channel. Yeah. He's completely lost his accent. Yeah. He's completely just switched accents.
Speaking of switching accents, do Celtic even have a football team anymore? I think Rangers just put their B side out, won by like 10 goals over the weekend.
Does Celtic have a coach anymore? That's the question.
How come they don't?
Eddie, how come, dude? I don't know. No, nobody knows. Zero. And if anybody tells you that they know, they're lying. I don't know what it's. I was telling you guys before we started this today, the Twitter reaction. I mean, if you filtered out all of the just the venom that was, well, really the venom's been coming at the Celtic side for the entirety of the season. Everybody seems to be of the assumption that, like, man, Eddie Howe really's got his work cut out for him. He's going to need to do this. He's going to need to do that. He's going to need to do all these different things. And these people all seem to be quite adamant that Eddie Howe is going to be the one. And it's either these people know something that maybe I or we don't, or they're just hoping and praying.
The one thing I saw was that he didn't get announced this week because it was a bank holiday. And that is the most like British thing ever. For those of you that don't know, that's like, I don't know, like Columbus Day, you know, like it's a day that people get off. Some people get off.
It's not even like Columbus Day. It's just, yeah, we need a day off.
Yeah.
Things are closed on this Monday.
To put it this way, there's two bank holidays in May. So
I personally think that Eddie Howe is holding out for a better gig in the Premier League, and Celtic are, I mean, he's not committed to that yet. I think that he's holding out for a position in the Premier League. Something will show up. He will jump to that. And then we are going to be looking sillier than what we do now. Yeah. I think it's going to blow up in their face. I mean, it's not that Celtic, I mean, I don't know if they can entice the offer, make it more appealing or whatever. Surely they haven't with the squad and the result. I mean, if anybody saw it over the weekend, got pumped 4-1 at Ibrox.
Not
being
funny, but man, you not playing was more interesting than watching Celtic play. Like that's how bad.
I didn't even watch the game. It was just the only hope that we were playing for was to hopefully in beating them would not give them an invincible season where they hadn't lost. And
you're just not that caliber of a team.
It just didn't happen. I think the pieces are there. The pieces are there. It's just been such an environment, a negative environment. I think it's difficult to thrive in. I've said it in way previous episodes of the weight of 10 in a row, I think weighed way too heavy. We had unrealistic and unhealthy expectations of that. And when it began to show, when it began to crack, like, everyone collectively hit the panic button, and they've not taken their fingers off yet. And it's just been like that ever since.
It's also, what are you playing for? Right. Like
at this point, I mean, you had everything to play for in the beginning.
Place. Yeah. But you're right. They did, but now you're not got a new coach.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Your team's turning over in the off season. Anyway,
we took
still the rumors of the, what's it called? The project. What was the name of that project?
Oh yeah.
That's still there. That has not been ruled out yet. The Premier League has not denounced that. Project Big Picture is still technically in the works. No one has ruled that out.
Big picture, that's what it is.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting. I did want to share with you guys I got a letter from our sponsors complaining that we did not do our sponsored bit last week. So I'm going to just quickly introduce the.
I'm falling and I can't get up.
Sorry about that. That's a different edition. But the Life Alert.
Where the hyenas come and just take.
Yeah. Someone's yelling at their grandma. So the Life Alert player/coach/person of the week. Last week was Jurgen Klopp because Liverpool have fallen and no one knows where they are. But this week it is the drunken 12-year-old that was mid-pitch running after the footballs who just ate it. The highlights out there, you got to look it up on YouTube from Manchester United's raiding the fields. And that's the Life Alert Player of the Week. So transitioning away from there, is there anything going on with Ibrahimovic? Do we have an update on that yet? Not to put anyone on the spot.
I know the entire Italian league is kind of flipped on its head. Last I saw, Inter Milan have still run away with it. Atalanta is sitting in second place. Juventus is in third, and AC have also fallen and will not get up from fourth place.
Inter's been confirmed Serie A champions. I think this is the first time they've won it since, don't quote me, but 2009, 2010, or 2010, 2011, basically about 10 years' time since they've won it. So that's pretty impressive.
Lukaku's no joke, man. I don't know why he's all of a sudden like straight fire, but he's just killing it over there.
Maybe he's a late bloomer, or maybe he just wasn't in an environment where that was built for him to thrive.
Are you saying
what he tweeted?
Not a grower.
Two questions at once. Didn't hear either one of them.
Answer both at the same time.
Yes.
So my question was, is he a shower or a grower?
Okay. Yes. My answer to that is yes. And Alex, what was your question?
On social media, Lukaku.
Oh, did I see what he tweeted? Yes. Yeah,
King of Milan.
That's funny. I didn't see that, but that's funny.
Shots fired.
Yeah, no. Shots fired.
You think they hang out? You think they're playing FIFA and he's like, bro, watch this. I'm going to tweet at you.
Maybe. However, let's remind the people, all the people out there, that Ibrahimovic once said that in Milan, they have never had a king. They have a god.
So classic, Ibrahimovic.
I mean, like, what's better, king or god?
It just depends on who you ask, I suppose.
I at times think that's like a language breakdown, because there's no way anyone's that full of themselves.
It's all just a show.
Yeah. I mean, he's doing his thing. He's having a good time, at least. You know, even if he's not winning the league.
It was like when people would talk about, like, in that, remember when I watched that Diego Maradona documentary, people close to him would be like, there was Maradona, but then, like, we knew Diego. I guarantee it's the same thing. He's like, that's Ibra, but we know his Latin.
You know what's crazy is Cristiano Ronaldo is, like, soared to the top of the goal-scoring list in Serie A. 27 goals. Lukaku is at 21.
He went off, and it's all in, like, the last 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Like, he's just putting up numbers.
It's amazing.
There's been a lot of rumors. I don't know why, but there's been a lot of rumors with Ronaldo being linked back to Manchester United over this past week for some odd reason.
Glazers are looking for some good PR.
Yeah, dude. Some deflect tactics.
Ronaldo's like, I was going to come, but not anymore, man.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Exactly.
That's funny.
I don't think anybody, regardless of your history with United, would even go think of going back to that now.
Yeah. I'm available. I'm just gonna put that out there.
Right.
Like, if the interest in me is still there, I'd go back.
Yeah.
Okay.
Before we get to where are they now, let's do a mini trash takes, Champions League edition. By the time you guys all listen to this, probably be well done and over. Man City and PSG, Chelsea and Real Madrid. Who's going through to the final?
I think Chelsea are going to pull it off.
That was a difficult game. I don't know. I saw the Chelsea Real Madrid one. That was downpouring rain.
Yeah.
Absolutely downpouring rain. 1-1, the Chelsea have an away goal. They might be able to squeak something now. The next game's at the Bridge tomorrow. Yeah, Chelsea might get like a 1-0, or it might even just be a draw. It might just even be a draw and Chelsea.
I'm gonna take a bold statement here. Because this is coming out after the game's already happened, more than likely. I think that's what Alex said. Yeah, Chelsea destroyed Real Madrid. Like, absolutely demolished them. They're in the final. If you guys doubted me, you're idiots. And if I was wrong, I was just kidding.
If you want to go real bold, you put a scoreline on it.
Yeah, 4-1.
Wow, 4-1. Ooh. Got it. You're here to hear first, folks.
Yeah.
Who's scoring the 4 goals?
Dude, I don't know the name of the Chelsea players. You know who's not? Tino Werner will not score any of them. I'll put it out there.
Okay. Christian Pulisic scores 5 but gets 1 ruled out.
Yeah. VAR. No,
actually, he scores 5 and 1 own goal.
You see United put a hurting on Roma in the second half.
Roma fell and they couldn't get up.
Yeah. I think those 2 goals, though, 2 goals on the road in European football is deadly, right? Like,
yeah.
Granted, they got to turn around and score 4 goals now at home. It's doable. But 2 away goals is pretty deadly, so don't sleep on Roma. I'm not that confident yet, especially – I mean,
they did just get a nice little rest in, but part of me is a little nervous because I just don't believe United will be able to see it through.
Do you think there'll be any Arsenal magic? They pulled away with one away goal. Got to come back home on Thursday. Can they beat Villarreal? What, 1-0, 2-0?
They're going to need more than Arsenal magic. They're going to need some West Brom angel dust.
Big Sam in the stands sprinkling it.
That big old head and that big grin just looking at you. Just
Big Sam's moving weight. Yeah. I'm going to put this out there. Arsenal are the next club to absolutely throw their hands up in the air, and the fans are taking back Arsenal this week.
Ooh.
Like, you just don't care. Fellas, is it time? Are you guys ready?
Real quick, Steve, on La Liga.
Do you have the talking stick?
I did. It's right here.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead then.
No, Steve, not that stick.
La Liga, the point, the top of La Liga is still as enticing as ever. With what was it? Athletic? No, Barcelona dropping points against Cadiz.
Really?
Yeah.
I took a hard stance that Barcelona is going to win. So, like, this is how I thought it's
played out. Pardon the pronunciation, but Cadiz, I suppose. It was like a 1-1 draw, I believe. And now Atletico all on 34 games. So if you look at the top four teams in La Liga right now, next fixture.
When did Barcelona lose a game? They beat Valencia.
No, they tied. They dropped points.
Yeah, but they beat
the match before Valencia.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say Leo Messi had like a phenomenal free kick against Valencia to win that game.
No, not that one. Okay. But if you look in La Liga now, the top four positions, all on 34 points. Atletico at 76 points. Real and Barcelona are both on 74 points. And Sevilla are at 70 points. All four of these teams, their next fixture, they all play each other. Barcelona play Atletico and Real play Sevilla. Same time on the same pitch. I don't know how they're going to make that work, but it's the same time, same pitch. It's going to be crazy. One to tune into. But only one set of commentators. So they're tasked with both games. Same time.
It's like an upper deck and a lower deck.
that'll be interesting. I mean, it'd be cool if Sevilla was at 71 points, because then there'd be a chance for them to actually bump up into third place, potentially. Yeah. Well, yeah, third place. But that's one to keep an eye on. That's coming Atletico to quite the close.
Have 2 points over Barcelona and our favorite, or in Barcelona's favorites.
Yeah, I mean, just because they're Barcelona, that's why.
Atletico might be my trash take of the week. Just throwing that out there.
Could you imagine being Sevilla? Like, you're having a really good season. You're 6 points off the top, and just probably nobody cares about you.
That's probably the way they like it, though. Yeah, isn't it?
True. I
mean, it's probably like Leicester City. It's like everyone's talking about all these other big teams, like all of their problems. Let us focus on us.
Yeah.
That's how I would like it. I mean, less eyes on you. You can just focus on your own thing. And then all that external pressure, it's not as prevalent.
Yeah. I think we've seen the, jumping back over to the Premier League, I think we've seen the end of Everton being any sort of upset for European football.
Not West Ham, though.
Yeah, no, West Ham's definitely in there for sure.
They're at least Europa League. Lose a close race, though. I want David Moyes positioned in fourth place going in the last day, and Chelsea just ruin it for him. Then I'm going to tweet at him and think that he's actually reading it. Be like, dude, I told you, you're trash. You and Johnny Evans, dog. Yeah, throwing that out there. All right, fellas. The score is all tied up, I believe. 3-3. Yes. 3-3. Steve, do you want to crack a cold one?
The funds have gone low, man. The beer fund. We've not been – maybe I got to just put the hashtag out in all caps this time.
Steve is now drinking pop-off. That's where his life has kind of led him to. It's for you Michiganders, that's Burnett's discounted. Yep, it's a solo cup.
I'm familiar with it.
I know you are. It's our devout listeners that I need to make sure of being addressed to. So it turns out not only is there a zodiac sign for this footballer, if you will, there's a ruling planet, and this person's ruling planet is Uranus. So his zodiac sign is Aquarius, was born in the year of the monkey, and this gentleman is currently 41 years old. Have at it.
Just rule out goalkeepers. Are they currently playing?
It is not a goalkeeper. That was your first question, Alex.
Are they currently playing?
They are currently playing. Great question, Alex. One for one. He is not Nigerian.
Is he English?
Yes.
Ooh. He is English. He's 41. Ain't no way he's playing in the Prem. And that's not my question. Has he won the Champions League?
Possibly. He would not have been a prevalent character in that. Yes, he would have won a Champions League in... Do you need to know the year?
I'll take it if you got it.
All right, give me a second.
I mean, we're about to get it right here. It's about to be a mad dash to the finish line here.
You think?
I think the answer will come shortly.
He is currently coaching in the Championship.
Wait, I thought you said he was currently playing.
I did not say that.
He did.
Yeah, I was about to say, let's fact check Ben on that. He said he was playing.
I mean, he's playing with your heart. That's about it.
So to confirm, he is not playing.
Correct.
Okay.
He's also not won a Champions League, but a team he played against did win a Champions League that in that time frame.
Has he, as a coach, as we've now established, has he ever been a coach in the Premier League and then sort of been relegated down to the Championship, or has he just always been in the Championship?
That's a loaded question.
He's been coaching since 2019.
Okay.
And I don't know the answer to that. I don't think so.
Okay.
I'm going to say no.
Is he doing well in the Championship right now? Top 10?
Ooh. Ooh, what a question that is, Alex. Look at you investigating. So this guy was a center back. Nope, that's not what I'm looking for.
Who knows? EFL Championship. Oh, come on. It's like 25 teams or something.
There's a lot of
center back. So this center back is best known for being kind of a dud. They thought he was going to be something special.
Jonathan Woodgate.
Big club.
Sounds like Felipe Senderos.
Nope. Alex hit the nail on the head.
Oh, wow. Nice one.
One more time, Alex, for the devout listeners.
Woodgate.
Jonathan Woodgate. I did not know that he was a coach.
Yep. Same. I would never have guessed him because I didn't know he's a coach either.
No. His career is an absolute disaster.
So he went to Real Madrid for a sec, didn't he?
Yeah, but it's great. So Jonathan Woodgate starts at Leeds, competing with Rio Ferdinand for a starting spot, goes to Newcastle, has a pretty good time at Newcastle, goes to Real Madrid, gets hurt, and misses his debut. On his debut, he scored an own goal
and then was
sent off.
Yeah.
And that is the last we heard about Jonathan Woodgate, unless you're a Middlesbrough fan and he was your coach last year.
Did he go to Tottenham for a sec?
He's at AFC Bournemouth right now coaching. He
was at Tottenham for a little while.
Yes.
I don't think it was a glory-filled time.
No, he was kind of like, help, I'm falling down the stairs. It's kind of cool that he started coaching at Middlesbrough when he finished his career playing there, and he's also from Middlesbrough.
Jonathan Woodgate, never, ever. I'm familiar with the player, but never would have guessed him.
Just not up to the same caliber as Alex at Where Are They Now?
Suppose.
Yeah.
Suppose. Yeah. All right. That's the Where Are They Now.
You know what's great is he joined Middlesbrough for £7 million. Didn't really do a lot. And then went to Tottenham for £8 million. So he managed to make more money not doing a lot. So
awesome.
He's the winner.
Yeah. How do I let those employers know that I'm also available?
You announce it on the podcast.
That's it right there.
You just, perfect.
Tease it out.
Nice.
Are you available for the Tottenham job?
I am available for the Tottenham job.
You were too old.
Yeah.
Ryan Mason's slightly older.
No. You're saying there's a chance?
Eddie, how can that be?
Saying there's a chance.
All right, guys. Do we want to do trash takes?
Yeah, absolutely. We got not too many left in our lives.
This is the last season of our lives.
Well, if they keep storming the pitch and burning down the stadiums,
burn down the stadium?
Yeah, well, you know, there's a weekend to come.
Foreshadowing,
right?
How do we put money on that if that happens? If that came
Yeah, and then I'm going to be investigated deeply by MI6.
I'm just going to throw this out here. I am not really affiliated with Alex.
But I am still available for the Tottenham job.
Yeah. Do want it to be known. All right, so let's look at Friday, May 7th, beginning with Leicester City and Newcastle, going through Monday, May 10th, Fulham and Burnley.
Pop-off's going down smooth.
Actually, let's extend it a little extendo till Tuesday, May 11th.
Tuesday, May 11th. Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say Leeds are going to beat Tottenham. I think Leeds are not consistent and they lost last week. So statistically, they'll win this week.
I feel like you always go with Leeds.
All right. Well, I'll pick a different team then. Chelsea over Man City.
Is that a trash take? You're just gonna delay the inevitable.
Leicester over Newcastle.
That's what the fans are really pissed off about.
I mean, to be fair, the Manchester United pitch invasion did delay Man City winning the title this past weekend.
Potentially by like 3 weeks as well. Like, it's an awkward amount of time.
Whoa, yeah. Wait a second. Have you heard reports of that match being played 3 weeks from now?
No.
Oh. What were you saying? Being delayed for 3 weeks. Why did you say that?
Because Man City need to win two, I think it is.
Okay.
Or Man United need to lose one.
Right, right, right. I'm familiar with that. Yeah.
And I think Man United were more likely to lose to Liverpool than they are against Aston.
Oh, I understand what you're saying.
Okay. Or anyone else. So it's just speculation.
I'm following you now.
Nothing concrete there.
Aston Villa United kicking off at 9:05. Not 9, 9:05.
That's 5 minutes to clean up the pitch after the
just leaves a little extra time for an invasion.
That's awesome.
I'm going to go with...
Did you say West Brom over Arsenal? Because that's who you usually go with.
No, I'm going to go with Leeds over Tottenham.
That's a good take. It's ballsy. I think you're wise to put that out there. I think Alex is just mad because that was his trash take. Mm-hmm. And we have both taken it.
I'm going with Fulham over Burnley.
Dude, I already said that.
No, you didn't.
All right.
I was looking at Sheffield and the Crystal Palace, but was that a trash take? No. We
need to stop taking the Sheffield.
But why?
Chris Wilder, they're still playing the 3-5-2 for some reason.
He hasn't changed tactics.
Lives on.
It's going to win. We're going to win one day.
Just trust me. I'll quit, but you got to keep playing.
He's not even employed there anymore.
All right, so that was Leeds over Tottenham. Steve's pick, not Ben's, unless it's right, and that was me. I'm taking Chelsea over Manchester City. And Alex, I can't remember who you said because it's ridiculous, but I think it was Fulham over
Burnley.
Oh,
yeah. I'm going to change it. I'm going to take the Fairy Dust Boys at West Brom to beat Arsenal.
Whoa.
All right, so Fulham over Burnley. All right, we're giving you 4 and West Brom over Arsenal because we're giving Alex 2 because
why not?
Cabbage Patch Kid sucks.
Yes. Definitely going to lose to Leicester.
We'll see. Jamie Vardy hasn't scored a goal in quite some time, but if Iheanacho's still playing, still on it, should maybe be a route.
I think he'll be all right.
Yeah. Steve, don't patronize me.
Right.
Don't screw this up, Steve. You have one job to do.
All right, Ben.
Oh, man.
Time for the cheerio.
Is it?
Yes.
We can't yet. We need to buy ourselves like 30 seconds.
What do you need for 30 seconds? What do you want to talk about, Steve? What's on your mind?
Eddie, how come? How come? How come you're holding out?
How are you going to do me like this?
Somebody put the paper in front of him, put whatever number he needs on it, and sign it. In the botched, unquote, words of Rio Ferdinand. Remember when he was saying that to OGS when he's putting some results up? Put the thing down on the desk, put whatever numbers on it, have him sign it. Bingo, right. Done deal.
I'm going to move this along because you guys are insulting an entire nation of fine people. So it's that time of the night where I start to say goodnight. Lord. Sup. I know all of you are thinking it right now. How can they make us wait one more week for another episode? I don't know.
How can you make me feel this sick?
Make sure you tell someone about Swift Kicks Podcast. And please stay off the pitches. Ta-ta. Even fun.